Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for the opportunity you have given us this morning. Lord, we know that you have something in your heart to speak to us, and I pray you do that. I pray you'll speak through this word. I pray you'll speak through this pastor, through the anointing of your Spirit, Lord God. Let this word go forth, Father, with a power behind it, with a life behind it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, folks, this morning, many of you have already begun to hear things because we have a team of people that were chosen to help me to revitalize this church, to move this church forward to the next step. And so it's called the Acts 2 Journey, and I call it the Dream Team because that's what we've been doing over the past many months, is dreaming about some things that we really believe God is dreaming about as well. And so we're moving towards the beginning of next year to kind of unveil this to everyone, and we're getting excited about it. It's a lot of work has gone into it. A lot more will go into it in the next few months, but this morning I just wanted to kind of start talking about some things that we're moving towards, just to kind of give you a heads up. How many of y'all like a heads up? Amen? I'm there as well. So that brings me to Hebrews chapter 5. Let me just say this. If I started a sentence with these two words, like let us, not lettuce like the green stuff, but let us, if I could say let us stand, you guys would stand, correctly? If I said let us sing, some of us would sing. Y'all there? You know? Let us come to the front and receive a $100 bill. You know, I mean, hey, these girls right here, they understand that, okay? So let us, whenever you start that, so this morning's message is this, and this is going to be, you know, this is going to be easy for all of us to understand, easy for all of us to take, because this is obviously not for Trinity, it's for someone else. And so I love it whenever God speaks to me a message for somebody else and not me, amen? There are laughter in the building. So this is it. Let us mature. That's where we're at. So Hebrews chapter 5, let's just begin reading. And I'm not going to stop at the end of chapter 5 because the writer of Hebrews just moves right on to chapter 6. So we're going to read quite a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 17, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Yay. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. And so now here the writer of Hebrews is, whew, that's a pretty strong word, amen? Pretty strong word. I'm glad it wasn't written to me. I'm glad it was written to the Hebrews. Okay. I believe that there has been a dramatic shift in our society over this past generation. We have gone from a sense of duty, a sense of responsibility, to a demand for services and entertainment. Listen to me, church. Gone from a sense of duty and responsibility to a demand of services and entertainment. The society around us has put great emphasis on how do you feel as being more important than what should we do. Our society has turned inward rather than outward, a reflection of self-absorption and immaturity. I'll just mention this guy by name, Pastor Mike Stewart, which these folks know in the middle. Just showed me a picture and I didn't recognize him because he's so old. But go ahead. He's not my boss anymore. So Brother Mike Stewart was the president of Emmanuel Bible College, just down a little ways from us here. And one of the things that he expressed to me was that whenever new freshmen began to descend on the campus, they're so immature that many of the things the college had to do there was to help them to learn life skills that they should have already known prior to coming. Are y'all there? Listen, folks. The generation that is following are a bunch of sissies whenever it comes to living life. That's why we got folks that are 35 years old living in their basement, parents' basement. I'm just talking. But the one thing that I am grateful for this morning is that that kind of attitude has not crept into the church. It's just a reflection of our society. And everybody knows I'm not being truthful. You see, I think that the church all too often reflects our society. And I think sometimes the weaknesses in churches today is that we fail to challenge those Christians in our congregation to move on to maturity. You know, we just go, well, you know, I just hate to rock the boat. You know what I'm saying? Because folks, sometimes whenever we begin to move people towards maturity, it hurts their feelings. And God forbid we hurt anybody's feelings, because we have 9,000 churches that you can attend. And a lot of times whenever a pastor hurts somebody's feelings, you know what they do? They go find a pastor that won't. Come on. I'm just being honest. I think sometimes, though, if we're not careful, we strive to make people happy rather than holy. Sometimes I think we strive too often to make them feel good rather than to make them faithful and godly. And I think we have to encourage excitement and also education. Because education is what matures us. You got to be educated. You cannot, let me just make sure you all know this. You cannot get educated by coming to church once a week and sitting in a Sunday morning service. You cannot do it that way. You will never be mature if that's all you get. You have to have something more than that. You have to be a student of the Word. You have to allow people to train you and teach you. And so sometimes, yes, I think we need to encourage people to be excited. But many times whenever we encourage them to be excited, we totally avoid the education. We have to do both. Excitement, feeling good, even entertainment can certainly be a part of the Christian experience, but I don't think it is a substitute for spiritual maturity. We have to be a people that are mature. There is time to be immature. Y'all know that? There's time to be immature. We just can't stay there. I mean, we cannot expect somebody that comes to the altar today to be mature tomorrow. We're going to have to deal with a few things. Amen? I'm praying that we have to deal with a whole lot, because I'm praying for a flood of new converts here that just turn this world upside down. Are y'all with me? Pastor, I cannot believe this. They said a cuss word in the foyer this morning. I hope the walls don't fall down. I had a young lady that, she wasn't really a young lady, but I guess to Methuselah she was young. We had a guy get born again in our congregation. God just filled him gloriously, but he had a smoking habit. And every Sunday at the end of service, I mean, he was dying for a smoke. And he would immediately run out the door of the church, and I mean, he's out on the front lawn smoking. She came to me and she said, you need to talk to him about that, because he's out there smoking on the front lawn of the church. I said, that's between him and the Holy Spirit. And she got so mad at me. Folks, there's a time to be immature. Amen? There's a time to carry that over from the old life into this new life. But folks, the thing we've got to understand is you cannot stay there in immaturity. You see, if we had children that never physically matured after several years of birth, we'd take them to the doctor to find out what's wrong with them. Say, hey, this son of mine is, I don't think he's maturing like he needs to. It says, well, you know, I don't know. He's 3 feet tall, but he's 17, doctor. We take them to the doctor. If we have children that never matured emotionally, we would take them to a counselor. Amen? And so this morning, this message is, you know, why will we ignore the lack of spiritual maturity in our own lives? If we're so quick to take our kids to the doctor when we don't think they're physically right or emotionally right, I think the Bible very clearly teaches us that Christ wants us to move towards a mature walk with Him. It's not enough for us to just get saved and wait for the rapture of the church or wait for death. Folks, we should be growing. Growing should be a normal part of our walk with God. And so that brings us to the text this morning. Whenever you look at what the writer of Hebrews is saying, he says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Christ is a perfect example of maturity for you and I. But isn't it interesting to read here that even whenever He learned obedience, as the Bible says, growth came through being stretched. I wish upon a star that maturity was easy. I wish that you guys could come down here to the front and I could just bop you with a magic wand and we're mature. Wouldn't that be awesome? Pastor, I need to be mature. Get me. I mean, you could walk out of the service. I'm mature. I would love that, but it's not that way. Folks, maturity comes through us being stretched. I tell you, maturity comes from us serving. If you're not serving, I promise you this, you will never become fully mature. Maturity is this process of taking the focus off of ourselves and putting the focus on others. Many times in my office, I've had people come in and say, Pastor, my life is the very worst life of every human on this planet. Listen to me. And they will tell me their story. And they will tell me how bad it is for them. And they'll tell me that there's nothing worse and no one's ever had it as bad as them. Now, that was only one time, and that was in another country that I was pastoring. So don't worry about putting any names to it here. You know what I usually do to them? Because, folks, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes these problems are so massive that I go, I can't help you. But I don't tell them that out loud. You know? This is what I do to them. I say, listen, I'm going to write you a prescription. Oh, okay, good. And I usually write down, I said, I want you to leave my office. And the first thing that you do once you get home is you begin to plan an opportunity for you to go serve somebody today. Well, I don't even know who to serve. I said, listen, you got any neighbors? You got any relatives? You got any friends? I said, go bake them a big bunch of cookies and just go over there and just serve them. Just serve them. You got a neighbor needs some leaves raked in their yard? Just go rake those leaves. Well, I don't see how that has anything to do with how bad my life is. You don't even understand. You're just mocking me, Pastor. Everybody in this room ought to know what I'm talking about right there. Because see, whenever you begin to get your eyes off yourself and your problems and you begin to bless other people, it's amazing how your problems can be very manageable. Amen? Amen. Jesus was a student of scriptures. So you ask, Pastor, how do we mature? That's it. We got to get familiar with this word. Jesus was a student of scripture. Jesus wasn't ruled by his emotions. Because a lot of times that's what messes us all up in this maturity process. Because I'll be honest with you, there's many times in my life where I haven't felt like being trained. I haven't felt like sitting through another boring Sunday school class. Hello! Come on. We don't have any boring ones here, praise God. But I've been at churches where they were. I've taught them that they were. Never mind. My emotions are like going, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to come on Wednesday night. I would rather get my pajamas on and eat bonbons and watch TV. But Jesus wasn't ruled by his emotions. And I'll tell you, every one of us in this room ought to say praise God for that. Because if he'd have been ruled by his emotions, he would have never went to the cross and died for our salvations. Jesus' focus wasn't on his own needs. It was on the needs of others that were around him. Jesus' motivation was not from how he would benefit from something. He was motivated by his love for others and his duty to his heavenly Father. That's what maturity is right there. Whenever you start doing those things, getting into the scriptures, not letting your emotions rule you, focus on other people's needs and knowing that you're not doing anything for your benefit. It's just for others. I will tell you, you will begin to exponentially grow and mature in the kingdom of God. Little story here. A hospital visitor saw a nurse tending the sores of a leprosy patient. And this was his statement. He said, I'd never do that for $1 million. And the nurse just happened to overhear him. She walked out of the room. She said, neither would I. I'd do it for Jesus for nothing. For nothing. We had a terrible problem a few weeks ago with our plumbing here at the church, and one of our guys got it all out and got it cleaned, and I don't need to go any further than that. And so after service, I went to him and I said, listen, there will be a little bit extra in your check this week. You know, it's easy to add zeros to zeros. Are you all there with me? There was no check. That's serving. That's what we do. I wouldn't do that for $1 million. Yeah, I'd do it for Jesus for absolutely nothing. The writer here in Hebrews first gives us this picture of Jesus so that whenever he makes the statement that we need to move on to maturity, we'd know what it means. Oh, never mind. The Hebrews would know what it means. Jesus sets for us this emphasis on growing spiritually. His focus is outward, what he can do to minister. Servants in the kingdom of God are those who are growing. Servants are growing. Servants grow. Servants grow. I was so thankful that the church that I got born again in, one of the things that they did was just put you in ministry. They didn't care. They didn't care if you wanted to. They didn't care if you'd asked to. They just started coming to you and say, hey, I need you to do this. And I was so stupid back then. I go, okay, I'll do it. Now today I'm so much more mature. I'd say, well, I'm going to pray about it. That means get lost or get somebody else. Come on. I'm getting close to some of y'all, and by the end of this message, I'm going to get right there on your toes. Servants grow. Those who never serve rarely ever grow spiritually. Jesus' focus on his disciples was very similar to this. While he did teach them, he also washed their feet and called them to do the same. Come on, folks. We live in a generation where it's very easy to find biblical teaching. Now again, sometimes the pursuit of correct biblical teaching might be a little harder to find, but not all that hard. Because you can't just, if they're teaching the Bible, you just can't say, I'm going to buy all of what they're saying. Are y'all out there? Because there's some people that are teaching the Bible that are teaching it incorrectly. So now, we've got a lot of teaching available to us today. Amen? I mean, lots of teaching. It's all over the place out there. And teaching without the connected responsibility oftentimes will lead us to intellectual arrogance. I've actually had people tell me this before. Oh, I know that, but I'll be honest with you, someone else is going to have to do that. I know it, but somebody else is going to have to do it. That's intellectual arrogance. We may know a lot, but my question is this. But what do we do with what we know? Come on. We've got to take that word and put it in action. Even our school systems are becoming aware of the principle that I'm talking about. Because many times, in order for a high school senior or a college senior to graduate, they have to have community service. They have to go out and serve their community. In other words, they got to take what they know and put it into action. And folks, it should be no different in the Church of Jesus Christ than it is in our local high school. And everybody said amen to that one. Amen. If you're not saying amen, your neighbor needs to make you say amen right there, because that was, of all institutions that are alive and well in the United States of America, the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be the epitome of what I'm talking about. We learn what Jesus has called us to do, and we go do it in Jesus' name. There has to be a connection between what we know and what we do. And Christ has this perfect example of maturity, and it should be our example of growth. He sets his heart to serve. He sets his heart to sacrifice, and we should do no less. Because I will tell you that whenever you become a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ, it will cost you something. It will cost you something. Okay. You see, the more mature a person is, the more willing that person is to do what is needed. Not just what they feel like doing. I get tickled at our fellowships here because we got a lot of people that just jump in, start tearing down chairs and tables and throwing stuff away, and people in the kitchen till you can't even get in there. They're just washing and cleaning and a lot of times, you know, I felt like going up to him with, you know, like an interview with camera and say, do you feel like stacking those chairs? Is, you know, do you feel like, you know, I just kind of curious. I wonder if Cody and Amanda and Jalen and Clinton back there in children's ministry and our volunteers in the nursery, I just wonder if they feel like it, you know. Are you wondering whether or not I feel like doing this? I mean, honestly, any of y'all have any kids? Just raise your hands if you have kids. Regardless of age, just raise your hands. So moms, because I know sometimes you're tasked with this duty because your husband has no hands. I mean, how often were you excited about changing their diaper, you know? Oh, I just feel like changing a diaper. Where is he? I'm going to check to see if he needs it changed. No. I mean, no. Are y'all there with me? But whenever you get mature, it's not about feelings. It's about a duty. And I want to tell you something. Christ, yeah, salvation is free, but once you get saved, he puts a lot of stuff on our plate. Says, listen, I've called you to reach a generation. I've not planted you here on 441. I've not put you here in Otto or Franklin or south of the border in Georgia just to sit around and twiddle your thumbs. I've called you to do something. I've called you to make an impact with your life. That little dash in between when you were born and when you're going to die, that little dash right there, it might be very insignificant on your gravestone, but I want it to mean something in heaven. Amen? The mature person is that person that's willing to do whatever is needed, regardless of whether or not they feel like it. There's no shortcuts to maturity. I would love to be able to bop you with that magic wand. There's no instant ways of getting there. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it was like cooking ramen in the microwave? You could just open a little package of maturity, you know, and put it in there and then drink it. Never mind. That was just for me. That's what maturity does. Let's talk about stability for just a minute. Verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, But it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. We sang a song this morning. It said, "The rock won't move." You like that? Yeah. My wife is a collector of rocks. She likes not small rocks, but big rocks. We moved here to the mountains, and the first few years we were here, we'd take a drive every once in a while, we'd be driving around. There's this rock the size of a Volkswagen next to the road, and she goes, "Oh, I'd love to have that rock in my front yard." I go, "Baby, I cannot get you that rock. The state of North Carolina owns that rock, or I would load it up right now and take it home for you." But see, in my mind, I'm thinking, there is no way I can load that rock. That thing weighs thousands of pounds. I can't get that on a truck. I can't, because that rock ain't moving. Are y'all there? This is what I'm talking about this morning. Whenever you become spiritually mature, you become a rock. I will tell you this. I am glad that Jesus became the way for everybody to get saved. It'll never change, folks. That is the way. He's the way. That's the truth. That's the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by Him. He is a rock. He doesn't move. His word doesn't change. The Bible says that this stuff is never going to pass away. Heaven and earth will, but His word will remain forever. I am glad that Jesus is unwavering. I'm glad that Jesus is not moved by experiences in life, both bad and good. It didn't change His commitment to the Father. I'm just quick ask y'all a question. Has there been anybody in this room, and you don't have to raise your hands or anything like that, and please don't raise your hands if it's happened since I've been here as pastor, but have any of you all ever been hurt in church? I mean hurt where, I'm not talking about stumping your toe on the pew. I'm talking about something happened deep internally inside you, in your heart. You left and you go, "Oh my goodness, man, that's brutal." See, I've had that happen to me. And I will tell you this. It happens more often to pastors than you think it does. Because there's a lot of people be just straight with you. I don't care if they hurt your feelings. They don't care if you hurt your feelings and your family. They don't care. Some people are mean that go to church. And there's been times where I have actually gone home from church and this is my thought process. I'm just going to get my tools and I'm going to go back to being a mechanic. I'm being honest with you. It was last Sunday, but I'm telling you. No, it hasn't happened in like 4 weeks. But anyway, no. Are y'all there with me? I mean, I have been ready to quit the ministry. I've been ready to just say, no, I'm not going to do it anymore, man. Those people are mean. That happened to be one of my family members, but nevertheless. No, y'all there with me? I mean, sometimes whenever bad things happen, but you got to understand, I'm still here. I'm still preaching. I'm still going on for Jesus because I'm not going to let circumstances, I'm not going to let people, I'm not going to let mean-spirited people change my direction. I am going to be rock solid. Come on, church. You see, one of the prevailing characteristics of mature people is they're stable. They're stable people. They're people that don't move. They don't shift left and right. Jesus is stable. The mature people are not starting and quitting based on how they feel at the time. They're people who have learned to handle the bumps in life and to still stay on course. I want to tell you something. Mature people have guts. They have guts. Mature people are strong people. Listen, I'm gonna share this with you. Didn't happen here, I think. But I've hurt people's feelings. I hurt one of my leaders' feelings one time. I mean, and here's the thing. I was completely wrong. Come on. I was wrong. And I had to go back. And I had to apologize and say, "Please don't get your husband to kill me. I mean, I was wrong. Now, I'll just be very honest with you. If I would have been that individual, I might have quit church over that. Because it wasn't good. But I was glad that she was mature. This is what she told me. She said, "Pastor, I knew you must be having a really bad day because you're never like that." I was thankful for that, that she gave me the element of grace. And I said, "I have no excuses. I was just being bad." Mature people are strong. Can I just say this? It doesn't take a lot of work to be immature. I just want that to sink in just for a minute because it makes a lot of sense. I want you to think of somebody that you know that's immature. Maybe not even spiritually, but just immature. They don't even have to try, do they? Yeah. They don't have to study. It just kind of happens naturally. But I will tell you this, whenever you begin to work towards maturity, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to stay stable, to be mature. Some Christians are always floating around looking for something to meet their expectations. They're looking for something to meet their wants. But there are other people that are just plugging away, looking for needs, and trying to make things better. One of my standard answers has become to somebody who has a lot of problems with something in the church. And please don't misunderstand me. I think church has problems all the time. I mean, we got problems. But a lot of times people come to me, "Your nursery is terrible. It's terrible. Those babies are climbing on the ceilings. I can't believe you're doing that." You know, and they just unload. And this is my standard answer. I said, "Man, you know, I think God has gifted you with a vision for our nursery. Because you see all of this, and a lot of people don't even see it. They don't even recognize we have a terrible nursery," which, by the way, we don't have a terrible nursery. This is another church. And I said, "Why don't you help me fix the nursery?" And they go, "Well, I ain't going to help you fix the nursery. I'm not called to those babies." I said, "Well, if you're not willing to help me fix it, then you need to keep your mouth shut about it being broken." And boy, they... But that's true. That's mature people. They say, "Well, man, we got a problem in the nursery. Let's roll up our sleeves and fix it, Pastor. Come on." Maturity means dealing with things, not running away from them. And Christ gives us this example to follow so that you and I are stable. We're stable. We get this example in this, and I can't spend a lot of time on it this morning, but listen to what it says. "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Folks, this is the one thing I will tell you. We in this church are no longer going to tolerate minimalist. That's good, Pastor. Amen. We're just not going to tolerate it. I mean, why should we? And you go, "I don't understand. He said it's not going to tolerate minimalists." Folks, do you understand what I'm talking about? I want you to mature because maturity is where life begins in Jesus Christ. If all you want to do is just sit on a pew and do absolutely nothing for the kingdom, folks, I cannot allow that because there's no life in that. There's no joy in that. There's no blessing in that. And so my job is as your pastor to bring you along and to mature you and to grow you so that your life begins to engage in the things that Jesus has called you to do, because there is great satisfaction in doing what Jesus has designed you for. There is great pleasure in doing what He signed you for. There is great energy and joy in doing what He has designed you to do. Whoever these early Christians were, they weren't growing. In fact, the writer seems to imply that they had done nothing since that they got saved except for just exist. They were happy just being saved and had done nothing to learn how to grow. Pretty strong words. I like this. I'm going to start saying this a lot. You're just slow to learn. I want to put my finger in their chest too while I'm doing it. You're just slow to learn. I've been rehearsing this. But I'm thankful it's not going to happen to any of you all. Hey, listen. If you don't think I've been there, I've been there. Whenever the Holy Spirit or other people that the Holy Spirit has designated speaker into my life, I've had people hard on me before. Pastor, you should have learned this by now. Come, hello, it's happened to me. It's happened to me. And so I can't tell you that I've gone through this thing unscathed. I'm still maturing. I haven't reached that place. I haven't reached that plateau where I can lean back and say, well, I'm mature. I'm a card-carrying member of the Assemblies of God. There's nobody there. This is a pursuit that you and I are going to pursue until you and I step into the presence of Almighty God. We just continually say, I can do this better. I can do this stronger. I can be more stable. I can be a better blessing to the kingdom of God. They weren't. Mature people never become comfortable and secure with themselves. They always say, I need to grow. I need to grow. I think this group was probably offered a real challenge here. And I have an idea. I'm just guessing, okay? Help me with this. See what you think. I think whenever they were called slow to learn, they needed the milk, not the meat. They should be teachers, but yet they needed somebody teaching them. I'm just kind of wondering if there was anybody there that was offended. Are y'all there with me? I wonder if everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's right. All of us are like that. Well, I'm glad we heard that today. Instead of like going, well, I'm just not sure I like that. I don't like that one bit. I'm forming a committee. I'm never going to read that book again, ever. Strong words. But they are people that have become very comfortable, very secure with where they were. And where they were, they weren't growing. I think the author's words here are a real challenge to them, as they should be a challenge to you and I. These words should challenge us. Can I just say this? We need to challenge each other. And I'm not just talking about you husbands and wives, you know. You need to grow up. You need to grow up. You need to mature more. Well, you need to mature more. I'm not talking about that. We should move people on to maturity. Folks, can I just say this? Now remember, I want you to temper this with love. But if you see somebody not here, not here, not here, you need to find out why they're not here. And if they don't have a good excuse, like, you know, I've broken my collarbone and I'm in traction, or do they put you in traction for that? Well, just go, I'm not a medical expert, you know. You need to challenge them. You need to say, well, you need to be in church. You need to be in Sunday school. You need to be here. You can't miss church 5 weeks in a row. No, you can't do that. I'm going to come to your house next week and pick you up. Well, I have a car. I don't care if you have a car or not. I'm going to make sure you get to church. I'm just saying, we need to challenge each other. Because otherwise, you're going to leave it up to me challenging everybody. And pretty soon, we're only have 3 people here. And they're probably, maybe not even going to be my kids. Are y'all there? We got to challenge one another. We can never come to a place where we are satisfied with where we're at. And I'll be honest with you. I don't think we can come to a place where we are satisfied with everybody else. And that doesn't mean going to them being ugly. I'm talking about in love. Are y'all there? You see somebody that's in a place where they have a big infraction, begin to pray about that. God may send you to them. I don't know, but I'm just saying we cannot grow to a place where we are comfortable, where we are satisfied with the maturity level that we're on. Sometimes I think that it may not even be immaturity that keeps people from not serving. It keeps people from serving. There you go. Sometimes I just think it's pure laziness. No matter where you are as far as age level is concerned, no matter where you are as far as your Christian age level is concerned, I think people want to be mature. I really believe that. I don't think people enjoy being immature. But if you want to be mature this morning, if you're hearing this message and you go, you know, I want to be mature. I want to be more like what Jesus has called me to be like. Then I'll tell you this. There's going to be a price to pay for that maturity. You're not going to get it easy. I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. There is a price to pay to get to that level that you're striving for. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. There are people, I believe, that want to be strong and they want to be stable. They want to live a life that exemplifies those two things. But oftentimes we want that maturity now. I'd like to have everything that I'm striving for in my maturity level. I'd love for it to be right now. But unfortunately, it's not there. It's a process. It's a process. Come this January or so, we're going to ask you to do things that you're going to go, I just can't allow you to be immature. And that's not as a parent, you know, I just can't allow you to do that. No. You have to understand where this comes from, because this comes out of the heart of God. And His heart for us is not to be that overbearing, you know, stubborn, corrective father. He comes to us with a heart of love. And He says, I have designed you this way. And if you will walk in that way, you will have fulfillment in your life that you never dreamed was possible. I will tell you this. No matter what materialistic thing that you're going after today, whenever you get it, there might be a temporary place of joy and pleasure in that, but it will always wane. Oh, if I just had a new house, I'd be happy. Well, you get that new house, and then the air conditioner goes out, and you're not so happy anymore. Oh, if I could just get married, I'd be happy. And then you get married. I'm not saying another word about that. I just said you just get married. Oh, if I could just have children, I know I'd be happy. Oh, talk to me first, please. Talk to me. I can send you to numerous people in this room that would tell you just having kids doesn't make you happy. Yes. Now having grandkids, that's the whole... I'm sorry. You and I have got to come to a place where we understand that the heart of God for us is to operate our lives according to the way He made us. That's maturity. There's joy in that, man. There's joy in that. Even the worst things that I have to do as a pastor, I still love this job. I love this job because I was created and designed to be where God has placed me. I'm blessed. I can't even imagine doing anything else. Now, 3 weeks ago, I was ready. I'm just kidding. Y'all there? Let us mature.